Did you know that you are most likely a communicator? You may not be a preacher, a politician, or a journalist, but when you think about it, most roles in life require communication. Whether you're in teaching, business, medicine, a trade, leading a small group, or just running a corner store, you have to communicate on a daily basis. So listen up, because I'm about to speak to Paul Scanlon. He's something of an expert in the topic of communication. He's been a leader of leaders and a pastor for more than 30 years at Life Church UK, and he now travels the world helping people to improve their communication skills. Paul's in Australia teaching masterclasses this week, and he joins me now. G'day, Paul.
Hey, Claire, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
You seem to have made this a major life focus at the moment, helping people to communicate better.
Yes.
Why is good communication so important to you?
Well, I think it's important because when a thing is said well, Claire, it is not just informative or educational. A thing that's said well can be life transforming for people is what I've discovered about communication. And I have sat under and probably been guilty of producing poor communication, not just good communication. And I know what each does to people in return. I think a thing said poorly can ruin a great idea. I mean, many of our politicians and people in influential places have a great idea, but then communicate it so poorly that we lose the quality of the idea. The idea itself is brilliant, but it's said so poorly. And I think that's my point, that it's worth saying a thing well. It is worth committing to being a good communicator, because the power to help someone and add value to someone by articulating a thing well, I personally believe, is as breathtaking as any other art form. They say we live in a day of small sound bites and people have no concentration and young people won't pay attention. I don't think that's true. I think it's more a statement about how we are lacking great orators and great communicators in our generation in all fields. It's that really that inspired me to do the masterclasses.
So what are some of those common mistakes that communicators make?
Well, there are tons of mistakes, Claire, that we all make all the time, most of which the people listening to us probably wouldn't be aware of. The question about mistakes is usually focused when people are thinking about technique things, about eye contact or voice projection or tone or body language. And those things, to be honest, are a little bit overrated, I think, because they're easy to fix and easy to master as habits. For me, the biggest mistakes, if that's the right word, is again not realizing how powerful and how helpful what I'm about to say could be to someone, and therefore being lazy or being autopilot in our approach to putting that idea across. I think my greatest concern and disappointment again comes to that, that communicators in all walks of life don't seem to see the value, and that's why I'm doing these masterclasses, to say to us we have to lift our game, not just in the actual presentation of an idea, but internally within ourselves as communicators, realizing that if we say this well today, not only will we pass on information, perhaps we'll give someone the language for their life, perhaps we'll give someone an idea that they've never dreamed of because we said it so well. So to me, the cardinal mistake for me as communicators is that we undervalue our ability and our privilege and honor to be in people's minds for a period of time in order to shape thinking, give them a new idea, transform their lives to a new level.
Okay. So in your masterclass, one of the things you talk about is actually how people listen, the audience. Can you give us a quick insight into what you mean by that?
Well, I think as communicators, we tend to spend most of our time in our own heads about what we are going to say. And I think I've realized that the best communicators in the world, the way they come across tells you they spent a lot of time in the minds of their listeners and in the shoes of the people listening to them. And listening is complicated. People do not listen with their ears. People listen with how they think. People listen with their minds. So as I am talking to people, as we are all talking to people, people's minds are talking to them at the same time. So there are two voices all the time when communication is taking place. That is what I am saying to you, but that is what you are saying to you about what I'm saying to you. And your voice to you and my voice to me is the most powerful voice in the world. And that's why people can nod their heads and have a New Year's resolution with their sort of 20% conscious mind, but their internal pre-programmed jukebox, as I call it, of belief system in the subconscious mind utterly governs the outcome. That's why people can say, yes, I want to do that, but then within a few weeks default back to what they say they don't want to do, not knowing that it's not a willpower issue, but it is a reprogramming of how we think internally issue. And so I talk a lot about that in the masterclass, because when I'm speaking to people, I know they are speaking to themselves about what I'm saying to them. And I want to interrupt that self-talk. I want to interject and dislodge for a few moments what they're saying to themselves, so they come off autopilot and get open to a new idea.
Mm. A few days ago, you made a post on Twitter and Instagram where you said, always speak to crowds as if speaking to one.
Yeah.
Can you unpack that a bit for us?
I think again, great communicators have a way of speaking as if you're the only one in the room, and of course you're not. And around the world, people would often say to me in crowds of thousands of people or email me saying, it was just like you were talking to me. And I thought a lot about that over the years and thought, well, as if I knew them, or as if someone had told me something about them on the way into the event. And I think what people are saying is that what you have done, and I hadn't analyzed it till these people fed that back, what you have done is you've taken time to make what you say intimate, even though you're saying it to large crowds. You've taken time to think about how this lands for the single parent, or for the student, or for the person that's battling cancer, or for the person that's just had a bankruptcy, or for a successful entrepreneur. You've taken time to think, how does this land once I say it? And I do take time that. I spend a lot of time thinking how this will sound to different life stages, people in different circumstances, people in different problems and tragedies of life. And I think that's why people feel we're speaking to one, even though we're not.
There's something you talk about called the art of capture. What is that?
Capture for me is a term I came up with to describe what I realize happens in my brain all the time. And I don't know what others call it, but I call it this. And I do a session in the masterclass about this, Claire. I think this is one of the biggest takeaways people get from the masterclass. Capture is the ability to take a mental photo of something, out of which you develop an idea, a concept, to communicate to people. Stand-up comedians do this all the time, Claire. Stand-up comedians, as you know, these days, they're not telling jokes. They are doing observational comedy. All that is capture. And the things that you and I go through every day that we didn't see funny in, they spend hours and hours analyzing and capturing within that hilarious stuff, and that's how they're making fortune in our country. Some of these guys are filling arenas. And what they're doing is, to me, is they're doing exactly that. And a lot of people, everybody has that ability, Claire, but very few of us engage it and are intentional about it. Great communicators live with their head on swivel, as it were, and antennae tuned in to everyday ordinary stuff all around them. But within that ordinary normal, for them, that are things to capture that they lift out and then develop that into a concept. And sometimes the capture can be so silly a thing, but when you mention it, everybody can get on the same page instantly, because it's usually a capture from something very normal in life, like I mentioned with the comedians.
Another thing that you talk about in your masterclass is finding your vocal fingerprint. And I find that interesting, because it sounds to me like everyone's got a unique way and a unique gift that's a little bit different to everyone else. Can you explain that?
I've studied this quite a bit to find the right language to communicate this part of the masterclass session. It really springs from helping people have a confidence in their right to be heard, a confidence that they have a unique voice, that they are not an echo, they are not a copy, and therefore their uniqueness is lost to us all if they feel afraid that what they say is just going to be a repeat or an echo. So I use the term vocal fingerprint in order to emphasize how unique each of our voices are. And in this session, I want people to help to see that your voice that I talk about is not a sound. It's not a sound I'm talking about. I'm talking about what I call each person has a unique signature note, a unique signature sound that comes out of our lives, out of the essence of who we are, out of our message. So if you'd have ever turned on and listened to The Voice without even seeing a visual of Winston Churchill or Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela, you're aware you're not just listening to a sound of a person communicating ideas, but you are been touched by the essence of that person.
Mm.
That's what I mean by each person has a vocal fingerprint. Now, I know I'm mentioning great world-changing people, and that is unhelpful to a degree because I believe every single person has this. I mentioned that so people can know what I'm talking about. But on the masterclass, I say to everybody that comes, you have this. You have to find this because when you speak from that unique essence of who you are, energized with the why and the passion you bring to it, no one else in the world can say something like you can say something.
Mm. I'm feeling more confident already, Paul.
There you go, see?
I might need to come this Friday. Just my last question I'd like to ask you. What did Jesus teach us about communication?
It's a great question because Jesus, of course, to me is the ultimate communicator, and I've studied him a lot and continue to do. To me, the best thing he taught us about communication, Claire, and there's lots of things, of course, but the best thing for me that I want to talk about, too, in the masterclass is that Jesus taught us to not have a one-size-fits-all for people.
Mm.
Many communicators are too one-size-fits-all in the application of how this is supposed to work in our lives. And Jesus had what I call an agricultural approach to people, not an industrial approach to people. Almost every analogy in the Bible of how God interacts with people, humanity, every metaphor is an agricultural one. It's seed and soil, it is trees and pruning and fruit.
Mm.
And an agricultural approach to people is one that simply throws out an idea, a concept, and then allows people to figure out how to apply that in their life, their stage of life, their age, their circumstances, who they are as a person. An industrial approach to people is a one-size-fits-all batch mentality. I want 100 of these. And we make people sort of paint by numbers and don't allow them to figure out for themselves how to walk in that concept or idea. And I love that about God, and I love that about Jesus, that he doesn't do that. And farmers sow seed and then just step back and let what happens, happens. And I think that's what as communicators we have to do. We have to throw out our ideas, do a brilliant job at saying it as best we can, but then we are not responsible to control or dictate or enforce outcomes. And farmers and agricultural people do not try to control outcomes. Industrial approaches to people do. So I talk a lot about that in the masterclass, and I think that's been one of the single biggest shifts in my style.
Mm. Well, it's fascinating to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Paul Scanlon. He's holding a communication masterclass at Ridges, North Sydney this Friday, the 5th of February. It's for both experienced and emerging communicators, and all the details are at paulscanlon.com.